Zedon, thinking out loud in color.
Does he know this is just audio?
January 24th, 2006.
I'm Tim Shadle.
Hi, welcome back to Zedon. Today I wanted to continue talking a little bit more about our team's experiences with JSF and why I've decided I'm not interested in continuing its use in the future, or at least not recommending it for future use. In the last podcast, I talked about the difference between the gets and the posts, JSF's use of the post, and why I think that that breaks one of the fundamental ideas of the web and the RESTful architecture of the web. Today, I wanted to build upon that, really, and go into why I think that one of the fundamental issues I have with JSF is that I feel like it's a leaky abstraction, and I'm going to borrow that term from Joel Spolsky. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. And, there's a link to his lengthy article in the show notes. The core concept is that in computer science, in computers, we take some small thing, and I think he actually starts down at the processor level, the strings, and then talks about how we build abstractions on that. We have, I believe in his example, it talks about how we make string classes and how over time things add up to be more complex than you expect, and that there are side effects that are not taken care of, not discussed, not disclosed in the abstraction, but are nevertheless incredibly important to understanding how to use the abstraction properly. His point in summary is that as we add layers and layers of abstraction, some of the details of the implementation of the lower layers leaks through. Another place where he gives an example is TCP/IP and some of the interesting leakages that come up through the TCP layer about the implementation details of IP. Taking that and kind of making a parallel, I really feel like we've got HTTP, which is a stateless protocol. In a lot of web frameworks, we add the session handling capability on top of it using different mechanisms like cookies or URL rewriting. That's all fine and dandy. We go on then, and in this component layer of abstraction that we have with JSF, we add a whole bunch of stuff that tries to hide the nature, the request response nature of HTTP. I mean, it's an explicit goal of JSF is to hide that request response nature. And it's interesting for a number of reasons. I think that there's some hope that in doing so, we're going to be able to attract desktop developers that are used to event models that are rich, used to developing in things like VB or Visual C++ or whatever that have a rich desktop event model. As these developers are switching over, I mean, there's the hope that the tools for JSF will be there so that a developer can sit down, they can drag and drop, create a web page out of components, then using their tool, go ahead and attach events at the various pieces of the life cycle, whether it be whatever layer that they want to do that. And the GUI will make it easy for them to choose the appropriate layer and that they'll be able to execute their code properly. And life will all be grand and dandy. The problem is that because it's a leaky abstraction, you never can quite get away from some of the things that are specifically and decidedly request response. So the developer that wants to work with JSF really can't step completely away from request response. In fact, we've seen this over and over again with our junior developers that we've asked or people that are good developers that don't have JSF, that are new to our environment. They come in and we've asked them to do something, just kind of hop right in and go. We've pointed them to the resources that they've needed, and there's things that are difficult for them to do because there's this attempt to hide the request response, and yet there's pieces of it that leak through. For example, one of the first developers that we had, junior developers that we gave an assignment to, he was going along working away, and then he came up with this error, and he turned to me and said, "What is this?" And it was, that the error that I'm sure many of you have seen many times. It's response already committed. If you've got a servlet connection, output stream, you're writing stuff to it, And then later on, you do something wrong when your JSP tags, you know, you'll get that error occasionally. And it has to do with the fact that you've already started writing stuff to the response, and you're trying to change one of the headers or something like that, if I recall correctly. But in this JSF area where we're supposed to be completely ignorant of the request response, there's still things like that that arrive and using purely JSF components. And I don't remember. I mean, it's been that was right at the beginning that we started using JSF, so could be up to almost a year ago that error came up. So I don't remember the exact resolution, but I remember just being shocked that here we were right at in the outset of this component framework that was going to make things easier. It was very clear that the request response was still going to be involved. Other things that have been interesting to deal with that are other examples of the abstraction below leaking through. Security is still done in the WebXML, and it's still URL-based security. We talked yesterday about some of the problems we get into with components and forms and posts and what URLs those are going to, because JSF hides all that. It's doing posts all the time, and can't really predict what URL it's going to go to. In fact, you're supposed to not really care. You're supposed, if I understand everything correctly, and you're supposed to just be able to develop your forms with your components and go away and let the framework figure out the URLs that it wants to use to do the posts and stuff. And yet the security is still regular old servlet level, servlet container security. And it's interesting because we had gone ahead and developed already a JAS module that authenticates against Active Directory, and that's a great little module. We've got Jira installed at work, so we've dropped that in so that our Jira logins or our Windows logins, we've dropped that into our wiki that we've got that's a Java-based wiki that we use, so that's great. We've dropped it in, we use Subversion against our Windows our Windows Active Directory usernames. And we've got a big effort to try to move as many of the things that hit especially end users over again to using one central authentication point. So we've got our JAS module. So we definitely want to be using container managed security, but we've had some difficulties trying to figure out exactly how to get that done in some instances. The easiest thing to do is just, you know, take the application, bam, make the whole thing secure, so you have to log in to see any of it. And, you know, that's not bad. I mean, most of the stuff we're doing is internal, so that works out pretty well for most of the time. But, you know, there's been some occasions where we've wanted to secure pieces of it or have other pieces of it unsecure, and because of the challenges of the URLs and the fact that we're doing URL-based security, you know, it's a piece of that leaky abstraction which has made things difficult to work around. And again, if you're going to be developing on something, you've got to know the lower layer of abstraction before you can work at the higher layer. So the promise of eliminating the need to understand and work with a request response has definitely not come through at all for us. It's been more of a frustration than anything else because of the people that we've brought on, that, you know, we have several people that had been Windows GUI developers of, and, you know, using the event models and such, and boy, that it's been something where they've come in, they've started working on things, we've given them training, we've given them books, they've done some research on their own, and yet it really turns out to be one thing that they don't understand on top of another thing they don't understand. So it's the JSF that they don't get on top of the servlet layer that they don't get. And, you know, after a while, you know, they've done some great things. They've really done some great things. But it's, you know, the initial work, it really, we've learned that they have to understand both. You just can't get away from that kind of the leaky abstraction pieces that are coming through. I mentioned getting parameters out of the request and trying to put them into a session scope backing bean the other day. Again, that's another place where we've had some difficulty, and I'm sure there's workarounds, and I'm sure that there's a lot more workarounds now than there were published back in the day, you know, 9 months ago. You know, that's another piece. Another time when the abstraction comes through is when pages get cached on the client side. Now, I'm assuming that doesn't happen very often. We've run into it a couple times, but I'm assuming with the posting, using the post, the browser isn't going to cache a whole lot of those things. But we run into it occasionally. My favorite, though, has been when the abstraction leaks through for the user. We had a particular search form that we were creating that, you know, you type the search form, you hit go, and it displays the results. It worked well. It really worked well. So you type the stuff in, and you see a table of results. From there, you can click to all the different, you know, detail of the search results. When the user hit the refresh button on the search results page, though, because of what we spoke about yesterday, is the post URLs don't update the address bar in the browser. It took them back to that URL that was still sitting in the address bar, which was the original search box entry point. So it completely lost all your search results. Instead of re-getting them again or seeing if they've been updated, it completely went back to the search page. You know, I'm sure that there's a workaround, but it was just hilarious to see that this component model, where the developer's not supposed to care about the URLs, they're not supposed to care about the request response cycle, again, it was something that leaked through, so you do have to care about what URL shows up in your browser, because it is going to affect the idioms that your user approaches your application with. And again, I'm sure that with all of these things that there are workarounds, and we've found a good number of them, because we've got applications in production that are using JSF, and we're supporting those, and we've got many more that are in the middle of development that we're absolutely going to continue on using JSF on those. So it's not that we haven't been able to function, it's just the pain at which it has come. You know, the cost has been more than what we bargained for, and frankly, more than we would like to have dealt with, from my point of view. And so it's interesting to take note of all of these different things. And again, another kind of an abstraction that leaks through from the user side is the back buttons and the forward buttons. And, you know, this has been something that's been an issue for a lot of different development architectures, and not just JSF, but especially now where so many things are post requests, you know, hitting the back button, are you sure you want to repost this? You know, okay, well, maybe you can disable the back button, and people have done that for other web frameworks altogether, but, you know, is that going to really be a good choice in this day and age where so many users are familiar with the back button? They use it as an escape, you know, they can always click on anything because, don't worry, you can hit the back button. You know, whether that's the right approach or not, there's going to be a lot of users that are going to treat the web that way. And from a philosophical standpoint, in some ways, that's really why the RESTful approach, I feel, is a very good approach, because the GET requests and the back button all just kind of work the way you'd expect. It means that you're going to be able to do something, it's not going to have a permanent effect, and if you mess up, don't worry, just click back. I mean, in the there's a great book on web usability called Don't Make Me Think, and in that book, he describes that the way most web users go about the web is they scan and click, and they don't really even read. They don't think about what they're clicking on necessarily. They just scan and click, and I've noticed I do that quite a bit, and especially for people that are adept at using the web and interested in finding an end goal, they're just going to click on something that they think has got the most likely path to find their information. Just click, 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 back button a number of times. And so that kind of general usage paradigm doesn't flow real well when you've got this problem with, you know, clicking forward and having the post requests and stuff like that. So, again, I'm sure that there's plenty of workarounds, but I'd rather not be spending my time looking for workarounds. I'd rather it just work. And so ultimately, I really feel like the approach that JSF has taken with the component model on top of the request response and trying to hide that altogether, and like I said yesterday, with breaking the idea of the RESTful web, really makes puts a lot of onus on the developers for getting finding all the right settings, all the workarounds to get things set up to function so that the users are going to have a good experience. And the developers need to, the developers need to have a good, thorough understanding of both the regular request response life cycles of servlets and the JSF component life cycle. So, moral of the story today is that I feel like JSF has gone too far in the kinds of abstractions it gives, and too far in its promises, certainly, on being able to hide request response. There's too much that leaks through, and we found that many of our developers really need to have a good understanding of request response in order to be able to deal with debugging situations when they approach JSF, good design situations, and be able to handle the various things that pop up that are difficult for users to use, difficult for developers to figure out. And ultimately, if you're going to be using JSF, take the time to figure out how to make your application closer to the REST style architecture. Even if you're doing internal applications, just, you know, the blanket answer of, hey, this is an internal app, we don't have to interface with anybody else, we're not going to have anybody linking to it. You know, someday you're going to have somebody that says, hey, we got this VB app downstairs for the people that do our sales, or, you know, they want to be able to have this link to get into the new system over here. Or, you know, you're going to have a call to be able to have a link directly to the report for John Schmidt here. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see that inside of any reasonably large internal application where there's more than six people using it internally, you're going to have some requests to tie it into something else or have something else be able to link directly to something. So anyway, that's it for today. When we come back next time, we're going to be talking more about the HTML generation and what that did to our graphic designer. So, anyway, thanks for listening. If you'd like to leave a comment, the weblog is currently broken. So you'll have to send me an email at z.podcast@gmail.com. That's zdotpodcast@gmail.com. Hopes to have the comments fixed within the next week or so. Get that all set up. But anyway, in the meantime, thanks for listening.